Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Who's happy about the fact that he thought you was worth dying for? I mean, somebody had to be glad about that thing, realizing that he thought you was worth it. Even in your mess, even in your stuff, he said, I'm willing to give my life for you. I think you're worth to die for. Somebody ought to be happy about that thing, because I know when I think about it, I know I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but I'm glad he did it. I'm not worthy, but I'm glad that he did. Amen, amen, amen. It's a wonderful song. Wonderful song. Amen. 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 If you would, grab your Bibles. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I know when we read it a little bit earlier, some folk went through and said, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're going to have to talk about some background and go through some different things here. But 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 11 through 15. We want to say thank you to those that are listening on the radio. Definitely want to say hello and happy anniversary to Shala and Ken Harper. They haven't been able to be here for us to celebrate their anniversary. Amen. God bless you. Haven't been able to celebrate their anniversary since they've moved, but we do definitely want to let them know that we're thinking about them. Amen. Definitely to Brother James McClary and the McClary family, who's unable to be here today, that are also listening. We want to let them know that our prayers are with them also. Amen. And for anyone else that's on the line, we love you. God bless you. God bless you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 11 through 15. Amen. It reads, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days are gone, I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of Sheratites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burn Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time and this moment. God, we say thank you for this Father's Day that you're allowing us to be here to celebrate. Father God, it's preaching time, and we ask that your word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done here. So open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would be receptive to what thus saith the Lord. God, we need you and can't make it without you. And Father God, so we implore you to bless us here today. Give us what it is that we need to make it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, 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 amen. I want to also go ahead and last week we didn't really understand everything that had gone on in Orlando with the shootings and all that other kind of stuff. So we did not actually pray for that. But I hope that you've added Orlando in your prayers and the mass shootings and everything that's going on during this time. Amen. Amen. And we also have listeners, Brother Jeffrey Moore, all the way from Orlando, that listens with us faithfully every Sunday. So we want to make sure that we pray for him and his family as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. First Samuel. We're sitting here dealing with a chapter that's sort of nestled in between this the last part of Book of Samuel. First Samuel gets ready to go into Second Samuel. And here in this particular scripture, we know that David later becomes king, but David is not king just yet right here. Actually, what's going on, David is in hiding. He's in hiding. And what David has done is that David has said, you know what, I got to get away from Saul. David has realized that what Saul is trying to do is that Saul is trying to kill him. And so he says, I got to get away from Saul, but how can I get away from the king that's king of all of this land? So David comes up with the idea that what he needs to do to get away from Saul is to actually go and to live with the enemy. And so he has decided that he's going to go and he's going to go live with the Philistines. And so as he's living with the Philistines, well, it has come upon some of the princes of the Philistines that they now have realized who King David is. And he says, isn't this David? David, you know, there's a song written about this David. Saul, who kills 1,000, but David kills 10,000, said, what are we doing allowing him to be here? If he's fallen out with the king Saul and all that, wouldn't the best thing for him to do to get back in contact with this king Saul would be to hide himself among us, and at any moment he could launch up and he could kill all of us? So that would be a great attack. So we have to get David out of here. And so as you continue to read on in verse number 29, in the beginning of chapter number 29, the beginning of verse 30, this is what you're going to find out that's happening. David had been given this place, Ziklag, and David had gone with 600 men. When the Bible says that there are 600 men there, it's not just men by themselves. It's also talking about their wives and their family. David has taken 600 families over into this place, and the place that the Philistines gave him was Ziklag. And so while David was out, he comes back to Ziklag. And when he comes back to Ziklag with all of the men that were actually there to fight, he gets back and he finds that Ziklag, that all of the women and children are gone. Everything has been taken. And Ziklag has been burned down to the ground. And so now all of the men are upset because all their families are gone. All of their possessions are gone while they were out doing this. And they start to turn and to blame David. David says, well, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go before the Lord and I'm going to ask the Lord, what should I do? God, should I go after these? What is going on? He gets a response back from God, and God says, yes, I want you to go after them. And this is where we find here in verse number 11. Amen. Amen. I've given you a small synopsis. If you need to get more details about that, please go back and read. Probably starting in maybe the 27th chapter, all the way up to where we are right now, and you'll get more details about everything that I just shared with you. So here is David. David is in this place, and he's going after these people that have burned down his area, and he finds this Egyptian man laying there. And the Bible says in verse number 11 is that when he found him in a field, they brought him to David. Well, here's David. Now, understand the situation. David has just been told that he has to get out of the land. He goes back to the land of where his family is. He finds that his wives and his children and all of his possession has been taken away and the place has been burned down. He prays to God. God tells him to go after those that did this. And as he's in the process of going there, he finds someone there. I don't know about you, but I don't know. My attitude probably would have been, I probably wouldn't have been too kind to that person. But watch what it says David did. It says here that when they brought him to David, David didn't ask him any questions. David didn't go through anything. It says the first thing David did is that he gave him bread and he did eat. And he made him to drink water. Made him to drink water. We're going to talk about an acronym today, DAD. D-A-D. DAD. D-A-D. Hopefully it'll be something easy for you to remember. And the first D deals with your duty. Or deliverance. Your duty as a believer, your duty as a Christian, your duty is to help somebody out, is to be kind. Here we actually see that there's actually deliverance in what's going on. David has responded to this man, this stranger, somebody that was simply in need. And even though he had all of his other stuff going on, even though all this other mess was going on with him, all of the anger that was probably inside of him, I don't know about you, but we can even talk about it in 2016. Folk can't really go down a road without saying something to somebody, without having some road rage. So imagine if everything you have had been taken. But David's response was that to be kind. It was his duty. It was his duty. It was something he says, look, I'm going to help this person out. Amen. So that first D, duty, deliverance, whichever one would go for you. But even when death was imminent here in this situation, God still had a plan to use this young Egyptian boy. David gave him something to eat. David gave him something to drink. And then the Bible says that his spirit came back unto him, meaning that he got strength enough to be able to talk or be able to respond. And when he got strength, David responded and said, well, look, who are you? Who are you? Who do you belong to? Where do you come from? And he answered and he said, you know what? I'm an Egyptian. I'm a servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind because I fell sick. I fell sick. The next thing that I want you to see with dad, is that only is there deliverance and there's duty. But the next thing, the A, I want you to understand that stands for appreciation. Appreciation. He was appreciative because, see, he was actually an enemy of David. But he could have responded and said something else. He could have done anything else different. But he said, no, let me go ahead and tell you who I am and what we've done, where we've been. Everything that was going on. And that in doing so as a believer, it's our duty is to be truthful, to tell the truth, to be appreciative of what it is that God has given us. Because here we see that even as he was getting ready to die, even as he was in a place where he was left 3 days with no food, no water, in the middle of the desert, God had something set up for him. God had something set up for him because even in that, God was going to use him to be able to put him into a better place. There's a lesson for us to learn because even when we go through stuff, God is still using it to put us in a better place. He's still using it to set us up. He's still using it to go ahead and allow it to be something better for us later on than actually what we see what we're going through presently. So many times, I'm sure that you can think back that you've gone through some stuff and you look back over your life and you say, you know what, I'm glad that I went through what I went through. Because if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I might not be where I am today. The slave, the young Egyptian boy who was a slave, if he hadn't have fell sick, if he hadn't have been placed out in the middle of the desert, if he hadn't been near death, he might still be a slave up under that master. But although he went through all of that, and God used that to go ahead and to put him into a better place. Amen? Amen. Duty, deliverance, appreciation. We got the D and the A. I want you to look at the last one, D. The last D, as we go to verse 15, it says, and David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. The last D that I want you to look at is direction, direction, direction. And so what this Egyptian boy did is he said, look, I'm going to show you which way you need to go. I'm going to show you how you need to get to where you're trying to get to, so that you can accomplish what it is that you're trying to get done. Direction. Sometimes God allows us to go to all these things so that our response would actually dictate our outcome. You see, he could have responded a different way and said, no, I don't know where you're going. I don't know what needs to happen. But his response actually dictated his outcome. Because as the Bible goes on to say that David didn't deliver him back into the hands of the master. He now was a free man. He no longer was a slave. But he could have responded differently and it would have put him in a different place. As believers, we need to understand that we have a duty as believers to help out as much as we possibly can, to be kind to one another as much as we possibly can. As believers, our duty is also that we should be appreciative to what it is God allows to happen in our lives. Everything that God allows to happen in our lives is not going to be what it is that we want. Everything that happened isn't going to always turn out the way that we want it to go. But understand that if God has allowed it, then God has a purpose for it. If God has allowed it, he's going to use whatever that situation is to actually make you better. But you have to be willing to accept, we sing the song, to accept what God allows. Last thing, out of being kind, out of doing our duty, out of doing what it is that we're supposed to do, out of being appreciative to whatever it is that God has allowed to happen in our lives, watch our response, because God is giving us our directions. He's given us our directions in which way that we should go and how we should do these things. And it all comes from Him. But if we respond out of order, out of how God would allow us to respond or how it is that we should respond, our response could actually dictate our outcome. Amen. 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 So dad, that's the title of today's sermon. That acronym. Amen. 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 That's going to be the sermon for today. Amen. I hope that today's sermon, I know it was quick, I know it was fast, but I hope that it's something that blessed you today. Amen. Dad, we're celebrating Father's Day. And one of the things that I think that's important for us all to realize that in our responses, in different things that are going on, we can look at this that happened back here in the Old Testament, but we can forward this to 2016 in our responses to what's happening during this day and time, what we see in the news, all the different things that's going on. We have to watch our responses. We have to watch how it is we respond. Because just as though something happens somewhere else, please don't think that it can't knock on your back door. Just because we see something in the news, please don't think that it's something that can't happen to you. Don't think it isn't anything that can go on here. As believers, it's our duty to make sure we respond to folk the way that we're supposed to be responding. How should we respond? David gave us a perfect example. It was a stranger that he met. He saw that a stranger was in need. David responded in love. He didn't say, hey, what's your ethnicity? Hey, what's going on? Hey, how much money do you have in your pocket? Hey, he didn't do any of that. He just simply saw that there was a need and he responded to the need. As believers, it's our duty to make sure we do just that. Amen. Appreciative. Who here can say that they're appreciative to what it is God is allowing to happen in your life? Nobody in here is going to sit here and say that my life is perfect, that everything is the way that I want it to be. But God is allowing things to happen to your life to show you something different. Amen. And lastly, who needs direction? Who needs help with where they need to go? God, I don't know my next step. I don't know what the next thing. Well, I tell you what. You want to know what it is you need to do? You want to know where the next place for you to go? Watch how you respond to the things that God places before you. Watch how you respond to how the things God places before you. In your response, that can dictate your outcome. Pastor, I don't really understand what you're saying. This is what I'm saying. Scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. You better watch how you respond. As a parent, don't you teach your child? It's not really about your attitude. Your attitude is so important. Watch how you respond. Did you give the appropriate response? It's one of the things that I ask my child, my children. My children get in trouble. Something goes on. Come to me, Daddy, this is going on. I said, how did you respond? Did you give the appropriate response? If you didn't give the appropriate response, then how are you expecting it to turn out better for you? Anybody ever got mad and went off on somebody at the store? How'd that turn out for you? Got mad at the waitress, got mad at the waiter, went off. How'd that turn out for you? You don't know if you got a little special sauce with your sandwich or not, huh? My mother sitting right there, she always told me, she says, you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. Watch your response. Amen. Dad, D-A-D. Amen. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? Amen. Is my lips chapped? Do I need some chapstick? I don't see that. Just roll up. This is yours. Oh, okay. I can use this. Maybe I was a little chappy or something. I don't know. Dad. Today's sermon was not a shout, was not a, you know, all that maybe sometimes as we would have, but it actually was something for you to really look at. I implore you to actually take the time to go back and to read this. A lot of times people say, Pastor, I don't know where to read. I don't know what to read. Okay, you got homework. You got homework this week. Start at the 27th chapter and go ahead and go through that. Start the 27th chapter and go ahead and go through that all the way up and finish out chapter 30. David went through a whole lot. David went through a whole lot. And being able to respond the way that he did is always amazing to me. I don't know if I could have did that. David's story is that David was already anointed king. He didn't need approval from anybody else. He was already anointed king. Even as him being anointed king, and even though God had left, had taken his hand off of Saul, Saul still stayed in the position. So even though David had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to take Saul out, he chose not to. How many of us would have the opportunity to take our enemy out, but would choose not to? The person that was hurting us, the person that was putting us through, the person that had us going through, but would choose not to. They would even make a decision that it would be better for me to go live with my enemy than it would be for me to stay at home. That's the decision that David made. Personal decision time. It's personal decision time. After listening to today's sermon, after being here today, whether it be through our worship and our praise, even through our testimony, there's been something here said today that would make you say, you know.